Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Peter. If you're in a place to grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
You know, back in verse 2, he says kind of two interesting words. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And then he goes on and says, serving as overseers. Those two words are challenging. Let's take it from a parental standpoint. We want to interact with our young people and our children, our young people, and especially, as they get a little bit older, they get in grade school, get in junior high school, middle school, those ages, and off into college. And say, we want to interact with them. We in some ways, want to be friendly in that sense or be a friend with them, right? We want to, have a relationship where we do things and hang out and all that stuff and be a friend in that sense. But you and I know that, our young people have friends. They're not really needing, nor do they really desire a lot of times us to be their friend in that sense, right? But they are, they live in our homes or they're close to us and they're among us, right? So they are somebody that we would want to hang out with, and we're hoping they would want to hang out with us a little bit as well. So there's this among us. But then it says also serving as an overseer. And yet on the same token, I need to lead. I need to make difficult decisions sometimes. I need to decide, the weather is really, really bad. Now, I'm telling you, I didn't raise girls, so I don't know about that part of it. I don't have answers on all of this because I didn't raise girls. I raised boys. My wife and I, with our three sons, it was just, I did the best I could. And by the time they're 16 or 17, I would try and warn about weather circumstances or different things. But, most all of them found out on their own one way or another through various sets of circumstances and a lot of prayer on mom and dad's part that, maybe dad's not such a goofball and dumb as we thought, that maybe we should be a little more cautious, But there were times where things would, we'd encourage them to get back by a certain time because we'd know that, hey, there's a storm coming or something. How violent weather can get around here. And, things happen. And we can learn and grow. But the idea is sometimes we have to, state something that's not going to be as popular because we are a parent, right? We're an overseer, and we have to state something that's popular. But we're also among them. We want to interact with them in a friendly, doing good stuff and enjoying ourselves together way too, right? We want to go fishing, or we want to go hunting, or we want to, go to a concert together. Yeah, it's probably not going to happen. But there's a lot of things we'd like to do that interact, okay, right? But it's challenging sometimes. Well, if you're involved in ministry, the same thing is true. I find this to be difficult sometimes because there's this tension between leading and being a good leader and an effective leader. And sometimes you have to make not as popular a decision about something because, it really is in the best interest. It's the heart of God, but sometimes you're challenged by that. But you're among everybody too. And you want to hang out and just, enjoy good fellowship and all that stuff. And so it's this constant thing. And it's similar to parenting in that sense because sometimes as you're leading, and you will find as your kids get older, if you have younger children, that this is a very true thing. This is something that really happens, where you've still got a lead, and yet you also are among. And so there's this constant kind of like battle area or challenge. It's like a tension that you're always trying to work through. And I really find it to be interesting. As Peter says, he kind of lists off all of these things for us, and he says, these things will help it stay in balance. Do what you're doing, not by compulsion, but willingly. You want to do it. And eagerly do it. Whether it's parenting or serving in a capacity in ministry, don't be just lording over You know, be engaged in what God's doing. Be engaged in those things. I think of the, speaking of concerts, you know, the number of shows that we would listen to with our oldest son and his bands that we would go, and his band would be playing all kinds of little clubs and coffee houses and stuff all over the place. And, you know, we'd listen to this stuff. I mean, it was all fine. It was good music. It was fun and stuff. But you know, we're there because we wanted to be supportive of him and what he was doing. And he was doing it in the Lord. And we wanted to be supportive of what he was doing in the Lord. And, you know, so we're among that stuff. And I don't regret any of that. But I think sometimes this idea can be caught up in what we're doing or why we're doing. We don't want to just lord over it just because we're not interested specifically, you know, in something doesn't mean, oh, well, I don't want to be engaged in it. We got to be engaged in things that are going on around us and be that example. And I think it will pay off in the long run, ultimately. Keeping our eyes on the eternal, doing these things in humility, being submissive, you know, subject one to another in that sense. Humble, we talk about here, knowing that, man, let's leave these things with the Lord, knowing that they could roll back on us, but give them back to God. Understanding there's an enemy. You know, all of these things are real within our homes, just as they are within a body of believers, within a church. It's interesting that there is this constant challenge within this. But then when we hit verse 8-10, it gets very interesting. He says, but... this is all true, but he says, may the God of all grace who calls us to eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It is very interesting that the only way to get through verses 1 through 9, there's only one way to get through it successfully, and that's by God's grace. That's the only way to navigate this as a parent, as a pastor, as an elder, as a leader. The only way to get past it is by God's grace. And I think Peter, of all people, knew exactly what he was doing when he penned these things. And you go back through, you find in every one of these things that was mentioned in verses 1 through 9 of chapter 5, God wants you and I to be dependent on his grace. We've said this many, many times. God's not looking for you and I to be perfect Christians because you're going to fail. What do you do with the failure? Do you fail forward? You know what I mean by fail forward? You fail forward, or do you just become immobilized, stagnated, doing nothing? Just wandering around, feeling like, yeah, I'm useless or whatever. Have your pity party. Cry yourself to sleep over it. Get over it then. You got to move on. Because this is so interesting. This is really interesting to me that what he does is, and we'll just go through this real quick, but in these verses, the first one you find is he talks about being a witness, doesn't he? He talks about a witness of the suffering. Witness of the suffering. You remember when he was there, the crucifixion took place? Peter wasn't right there. Everything that went on with Peter from the time in the garden on out was at a distance, remember? He failed. Brothers and sisters, Peter failed. Let's go on. He failed at that. He wasn't right there. He was at a distance. Let's go. Let's keep reading. He was a witness to the glory. Remember, he says a witness of the sufferings and a partaker of the glory to be revealed. Think about it. When in Matthew 17:4, they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's a witness of the glory. Right, the presence of God is there. God himself is speaking. Moses and Elijah are there. The prophet and the law and the Son of God, Jesus, is there. And Peter says, let's build 3 tabernacles and camp out. Let's hang out. 3 equal tabernacles. Let's build them. and let's just hang out and just kind of worship. And nope. Failure again, Peter. Not a good idea. We're not building tabernacles. And because you know what? The three aren't equal. What did the Father say through the voice, through the cloud? He says, man, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. He was the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He isn't equal to. He is the fulfillment of. Jesus has preeminence. Just go through these things and you just start finding. In every one of these things, Peter failed at this stuff. Feed the flock. John 21:15. Where was he when they were supposed to be waiting, watching, seeing what was going to happen? He gets some of the other bros, even talks some of the other bros and, well, that was an interesting few years. Let's go fishing. Back to what we were doing. That was a trip. You know, can you, I would have been just like Peter. But, you know, wow, this has been great. What an adventure. Let's get back to work. I guess we got stuff to do, you know. And completely missed the whole boat. No pun intended. But they really just went out and just started. And then Jesus comes to him. He's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, really, right? Why? Because he had failed. If you're so worried about being a failure, stop, because you already are one. You are. I am. We are failures. Stop worrying about it. Stop aiming for all this perfection, 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 and get your eyes on grace, because grace is what matters, and we'll conclude with that thought in just a few minutes. So he misses the boat. What happens? Misses the what he's supposed to be doing. And what does Jesus tell him in John chapter 21? Remember breakfast by the sea? He spends time with him, and he tells him, Peter, feed. Feed the lambs, feed the flock, feed, care for. He's telling them, hey man, be the pastor, be the shepherd, be the feeder that you're supposed to be. Look at what he's saying. He knows the personal failure with doing what he's supposed to be doing. What about constraint? This idea of compulsion. Jesus tried to get him in the garden. Matthew 26:38, tried to get him in the garden. Hey, watch and pray. Just hang out right here. Yes. Man, I'm going through a lot. Just watch and pray. And Jesus is really trying to really constrain him. Hey, please, I need you to watch and pray. You know, Jesus really wanted him to do this. And what did he do? You know, he just fell asleep. Him and the other bros, they fell asleep. Another failure. Good try, Peter. Didn't work out. You guys are thinking I'm really being hardened, Peter, aren't you? But it's okay. When you get through this and you start seeing what's transpired, what else happens with Peter? He blows it there too. So he stands up in the garden. This isn't going to go this way. We're not going to go down this way. Pulls out a sword. Off goes Malchus's ear. You know? He's going to take charge of this. He's going to lord over that thing, man. The whole thing is all about love. And Peter gets out his sword and lops off some guy's ear. Oh, man. Jesus picks up the ear. This is Jesus' last public miracle in that sense, or healing like that, as he picks up Malchus' ear and puts it back on. We know it was a miracle, right? This is before they had super glue, so. Matthew 16:22. Let's talk about the submission, how submitted as he was. Remember, they're there at Caesarea Philippi. Oh, man, he's gotten the big attaboy. Just a few moments ago, he's gotten this big attaboy. Nice. He got, man, the spiritual high five from Jesus, you know. Man, the Father has spoke. There's only one way you could have known this. The Father's revealed this to you. Yeah, right on, Peter. You know, Peter's like, yeah. You know, he's probably, I've been pretty excited if I was him. You know, yeah, I heard from the Father, and Jesus is commending me, and this is great. He's probably looking at the other bros, you know. I mean, he's just probably feeling really good about it. And then all of a sudden, Jesus starts talking about the cross. The crucifixion, the suffering to come. And Peter, the submitted brother that he was, went up to the Lord and rebuked him. That's not submission. That's right? Another, didn't make it on that one either. So Peter really understood humility. John 13:8. Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, comes to Peter and says, no way. He goes, not only am I too prideful to wash anybody else's feet, but I'm not letting you wash my feet either. Jesus said, if you don't let me wash your feet, you have nothing to do with me. You gotta let the Lord wash your heart, wash your life. You gotta be submitted and let him have his, let him do that. He wants to do that. It's because he loves you. Sometimes we're so prideful. No, I don't want you to do it. Well, why not? He just loves you. And he says, man, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part of me. And they says, well, I want a whole bath then. I'll take a shower. You know, that's what it takes. You know, he's just missing it. You know, being humble. Miss the boat on that too. In the midst of the storm, Peter walks out. Gets so caught up in the storm that he loses sight. You know, he says, "Jesus, if it's you, tell me, beg me to come to you." You know, and so yeah, come. And so Peter gets out of the boat and starts walking on the. And then he starts looking around at the storm around him, and he goes down. And Jesus reaches out, cast your cares. Keep casting your cares on the Lord. This is why he's saying that. He blew it. He didn't keep his eyes fixed on what he was supposed to. He blew it. The last one, Luke 22, 33. Jesus told Peter, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. He's after you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And you know what? Peter didn't, he said, well, you know, hey, no matter what happens, you know, I'm willing to go to war for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'm with you. You know, that's all he talks about. He says, man, Peter, you're gonna deny me. You're gonna fail. But even in that situation with this, he didn't believe what Jesus was telling him about the enemy. Now, when you read those things and you see every one of these areas, Peter had failed. So who is he? Who do you think he is? Who does he think he is telling you, hey, man, he's exhorting you. Hey, do this. Keep your eye on that. Be careful with this. Why? Because in the grace of God, when he failed, he called upon the Lord. He looked upon the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. And he learned by God's grace. He learned and grew and developed past the failure. That's the grace of God. The only time it goes really, really bad for us is when we're not learning from those areas where we fail. We just have to learn. That's all we have to do is just keep learning. Every one of these things he learned. He learned from and has grown in his walk with the Lord and then now gone on to be used mightily by God, hasn't he? Peter's one of the iconic people in the scriptures that have been used by the Lord. So, he says, but may the God of all grace who called us into his eternal glory, he says, man, God's called us to this by Christ Jesus. After you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Yeah, you're going to miss it. Yeah, things are going to happen. Yeah, you're going to go through difficult times. Yes, all that's true. But he said, just keep growing, keep learning, keep progressing in your walk with the Lord. This is the grace of God at work. He's not looking for you and I to always do exactly the right thing, but he is looking for us to grow. Now, one of the keys that I found with, and it's a powerful truth to our growth, is failure or missing something or anything like that, you know, where it just doesn't go well. It is a powerful teacher, right? There's no doubt about it. It's a powerful teacher for us. But, you know, it doesn't always have to be your issue. Learn from others. Learn from the scriptures about what it says, and you don't have to be that repeat thing. The other thing I found is when you fail, those markings that you get on your life and my life, those markings we get, can be used in powerful ways in the hands of the Lord as an identification with others to point others to the Lord. So don't be frightened by your failure. I have failed God over and over and over again many, 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 many times. But as we learn and as we grow and as we mature in our walk with the Lord, God will use those things, those very things, as markings that we can point to and say, yes, yes, it's true. I'm scarred up from that. But God was victorious, and this is how, and God will use that as a template in your life. But you have to have the victory in it. You have to let God have the victory, and the victory is only going to come through grace. By Silvanus, in verse 12, our faithful brother, as I consider him, I have written to you briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is true. This is the true grace of God in which we stand. What a fact. She who is in Babylon, now he's talking about, Babylon's another name for Rome at the time. She who is in Babylon, elect together with you, greets you. And so does Mark, my son. And this is probably John Mark. You remember the one that was, he was also a big failure, remember? According to Paul. But restored as well. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when we think about this in its conclusion, as we think about that thought to wrap it up and kind of close out with this, Peter remained. And if you don't grab anything else, I would encourage you to try and grab this thought and think on it through the week. If everything else just flew in and flew out or whatever, that's fine, but grab this one thought. Ask the Lord to reveal to you, in all sincerity and honesty, are you still teachable? Does God still have that platform? Do you allow him that platform? He will not force himself on you. Do you still allow him that platform in your heart to teach you? You see, Peter, in God's grace, always remained teachable. He didn't have everything all figured out. He remained teachable. And because he remained teachable, he remained usable in the kingdom. All the way until he was crucified upside down, just like Jesus said he was going to be. All the way till the conclusion of his journey on this side. He went on in God to do great things in the kingdom. You and I can do the same. The key is fail forward. You know, it's okay. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fail the Lord. Just move, pick up out of it, and go forward. God will do great things in and through us if we remain teachable. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks again for listening to the Bible study today, and I trust that God is speaking to your heart. Oftentimes when we hear God's word, it kind of pricks our hearts, and there's a desire to respond, and I want to give you that opportunity to respond to God today by giving your life to Jesus if you've never given your life to Jesus. And if you want that free gift of salvation, everlasting life, it's yours. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith. And maybe you just need to get right with God. Maybe you've walked with God at some point in your life, but you're just not walking with him today and want to get right with him. This is an opportunity for you. You know, many make fun of Jesus' second coming, that they're wondering, hey, is Jesus ever going to come back? And they make fun of it, kind of asking, where's the promise of his coming? You know, trying to act like God's forgotten about us. Well, God's not forgotten about you, me, or this world. But the real reality is the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, that's God's heart, is that we would get to that place of repentance. That means to turn away from something and to begin to follow something else, turning away from our sin and our sinful thoughts and our sinful actions in our lives that are so destructive, and then willingly follow him. That's his desire, that we wouldn't perish, but that we'd have everlasting life. If you'd pray a simple prayer of faith with me right now, right where you are, right whatever's going on in your life, if you just take this brief moment from your heart to pray this prayer and just ask Jesus, Jesus, I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior, and I want to ask that you would be my personal Lord and Savior, that you'd come into my heart, make my heart your home.
and that I would begin this new life, this new journey with you, Jesus. I thank you so much for loving me, and I thank you for forgiving me. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you can be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains. Jesus Christ.